I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
The holidays are here, and Kirkland's Home has everything you need to make this season shine. From beautiful tree decor and ornaments to cozy throws, candles, and festive accents, you'll find inspiring ways to deck every hall. Explore thoughtful holiday gifts for everyone on your list at prices that make celebrating even brighter. Come visit Kirkland's Home and discover great deals across the store as you decorate, gift, and gather. Kirkland's Home, your destination for a beautifully decorated holiday season. Come see us today.
Episode 233. Joining us today is current first baseman for your Greensboro Grasshoppers, Callan Moss. You're listening to the Bucko Banter podcast, brought to you by the Just Baseball Media Network. Cue the music.
Rockin' 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my talent's like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and in case after case, run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
Welcome to another episode of Bucko Banner. Today we are joined by Pirates prospect Callan Moss. Callan, welcome to the pod, man.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Cal, let's start off with your earlier days. Let's take it a step back. What was it like developing as a player in a city like New York that's not necessarily known for developing a lot of professional baseball players like maybe a California, Texas, or a Florida?
Yeah, no, it was it's definitely not easy. I think growing up in New York playing ball, even at the high school level, we didn't have a high school field. We were playing in public parks. From a facility side, there was only one real facility I went to growing up, and it was like a 40-minute drive from my crib. It was a small gym, one cage kind of thing. I know there's a video going around. I used to take BP in the subway with my pops in the subway station, just kind of finding ways to get in work. But it was definitely a grind, but it's a good community. I think New York's one of those places where obviously people go there, chase their dreams. But when you're from there, you want to play ball. Like, it's definitely possible. There's a good community. Guys like Richie, Josh Palacios, who came before me. Jalen Palmer with the Cubs right now. You see Christian Moore in the show with the Angels. I think the higher you get up with ball, you band together and you make it happen.
Yeah, we had Palacios on the show when he was with the organization, and kind of just getting that exposure while you're playing in the city and having to go that extra mile, like you said, taking BP in the subway or carrying your gear into another borough. Like, there's a lot more that you have to go through to get noticed, and it's kind of hard to get out of the city, especially around the time that you're growing up. COVID hits, everything like that, where you might not get the exposure from the D1 colleges or the professional scouts. What was that like for you in the recruiting process, either being overlooked or just not getting the looks that you thought maybe you deserved coming out of high school?
Yeah, no, it was a little tough. I think I was a late bloomer, so I wasn't really kind of on the map with any colleges till probably late my junior year, in that summer before my senior year. I started playing with a travel team called Time to Sign. And they kind of helped with the recruiting process a lot. But I had, two, three D1 offers and then a bunch of small D3 schools in the Northeast. And I decided to go to Seton Hall out of high school. They were probably the best baseball and academic fit. I knew I had a chance to come and hopefully play early. And that was pretty much all I had, though, until I hit the portal twice. But the second time. Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit, man. You made stops. I believe it was Seton Hall, North Florida, and then St. Leo.
Seton Hall, St. Leo, and then I was committed to North Florida for my last year. but I ended up signing. But I was at Seton Hall for 2 years, and then I had gotten hurt my sophomore year. We had some coaching changes, and it wasn't going to work out. I wasn't going to play kind of as much as I knew I needed to play if I wanted to play at the next level. So I hit the portal and ended up at St. Leo, and it was the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, let's talk about that process. I mean, St. Leo, that's a really good conference down in Florida. And talk about the process of, you know, bouncing around to a different school and then going undrafted and continuing to pursue your dream of playing professional baseball.
Absolutely. I think so. St. Leo, first off, everyone there and the year I was there, the years prior, everyone was like a D1 bounce back. You know, something had happened, whether, you know, you got hurt or it just didn't work out or you did some, whatever, you ended up at St. Leo. And Coach Rick Odette, who's now Florida Southern, but he did a really good job of recruiting good players and good dudes that probably shouldn't have been there, which is nice. So it was a really nice atmosphere of a bunch of older guys too, which was cool. So I got to learn from some really good ball players with a lot of experience. I think my year I was the youngest player on our starting nine, like average age was like 22, and I was a 20-year-old junior. But it gave me a lot of perspective, and you learn to grind out to the D2 level, and then. You know, that summer, I didn't know if I had a shot to get drafted. I knew I had, you know, done enough to maybe put me on the map a little bit. But, you know, playing D2 baseball, you never know when you're going to get drafted. I didn't have an advisor or anything. And, you know, draft day passed. I was playing summer ball in the Appy. And I didn't go. So I said, all right, I'm going to North Florida for my last year. And then we win the summer ball chip. I think it's on a Saturday. And then that Sunday, I'm driving down to UNF to move into my apartment. And I get a call from the Royals, asked if I wanted to sign. I said, absolutely. They called me 2 days later, sent over the contract. And then by that Friday, I was in low A.
I think people don't realize like D2 is definitely much more of a grind. You don't have the facilities and the resources that someone like an LSU might have. I played D2 myself, but that Sunshine State Conference, I think people don't realize when it comes to baseball, like football, D1, D2, massive difference, right? D1, D2... There's a lot of schools in the Sunshine State Conference that would whoop some D1 schools. I mean, Tampa's real every year. Lynn, Barry, Rollins is always good. NSU, like it's an absolute doghouse.
Oh no, it was serious ball. And the thing was, when I was there, at least everyone was getting their sixth and seventh years. So you're going up against like grown men. We're talking dudes who played. There's dudes who might have played pro ball 2 or 3 years, came back. Now they're seniors. And I think my year we had, I want to say 10 guys got picked up in the draft out of a D2 conference, which doesn't happen a lot. It was really good ball. You're seeing, you know, 95, 96 every Friday night, grown men hitting really, really far home runs. it was definitely a great experience. I think people, the Sunshine State alone doesn't get enough love. You know what I mean? I always tell kids, like, if you have a shot to go play down there over maybe a D1 in the Northeast, if you want to get away from the cold, like, go take it, dog. And don't take it for granted.
Absolutely. Let's. You mentioned the Appy League. I spent some time in the Appy League as a small little intern for the Toronto Blue Jays back in 2016. Okay. I was at Bluefield. This is when they were still a affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. What was that experience like? Because I know the Appy League is just different, man. It was. It's definitely a grind and it builds character. What was that like for you? Where were you, by the way?
So I was there all three summers. I was in Johnson City my first summer, and then Dan. It's the spot to be. But Appy, I think Appy got me ready for pro ball on and off the field, and then I got the chance to play for some really, really great dudes. My last year, I played for Mickey Tettleton was my skipper. Yeah. My second year in the Appy, I had Desi Relaford as my skipper. I had
Tori Royal.
Yeah, no, Desi was everywhere. 13 seasons in the show. Mickey, borderline Hall of Famer. My first year, I played for Kevin Mahoney, who's now he throws BP for the Mets. But he was a 7-year pro guy, played in the Yankees or coached in the Yankees or for a long time too. Wayne Riser, like in my book, Hall of Fame hitting coach. But it gave me a lot of perspective. I played for guys with a bunch of knowledge, and if you're open to it, they pour it into you.
Let's go into signing with the Royals. You sign with the Royals. It's a little bit more of an unorthodox process than like getting drafted and that entire process. What was the adjustment like going into the Royals organization? What do you think was the biggest hurdle for you to accomplish? And then when you finally started to ease in and then get traded, talk about how the business side of that works and moving around eventually to the Pirates organization.
Yeah, no, it was, I think signing me was a little bit of a shock. I kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, most guys, when they sign, they go to the complex for a little bit, playing that bridge season. They said, no, just go straight to low A. So I went from, I was on my couch in New York, went right to low A. But the guys over there did a really, really good job helping me adjust. Obviously, the competition level was a little higher. I wasn't playing the Appy to playing in low A, seeing 100 every night. But it was an adjustment. We got through it. You know, came back, instruct, spring training, all that. Really getting settled in. I was having a solid year in Quad Cities before I got traded. And then it was the last day. It was the deadline. We had just hit BP in South Bend. We're actually playing Ivan Breathour. And I didn't know what happened. My skipper said, hey, come to the office. Called our farm director, and they said, hey, you're going to Pittsburgh. I was like, oh, okay. I got hugs. A couple minutes later, Mike Chernow called me. He said, hey, welcome to the organization. I'm glad to have you. We're going to send you to Greensboro. They're in Rome right now. Would you rather fly out tonight or tomorrow? I was like, tomorrow would be better. I got family in town. Had dinner with my family. Next day, I was in Rome with the guys.
So you go from Quad. I was at that ballpark last year. Pretty cool ballpark. What modern, yeah. I believe. You got the bridge in the outfield, Mississippi River. Pretty cool atmosphere. But then you go to Greensboro, and they had an 88-win season, I believe it was, which is unreal. What, if any, differences did you notice in terms of development philosophy between the two organizations in your short stint with the Pirates and then with going from the Royals this season?
Yeah, I think organizationally, you guys know, like Royals baseball, kind of pitching, defense, base running, situational hitting. That was kind of our mantra. And, you know, every affiliate I was at, or just, you know, spring training, or the way we went about things was, you know, playing that style of baseball, which was cool. And they're really good at it. Like Rusty Kuhn's base running coordinator over there, like the way we teach, like we don't mess up on the bases. It was cool. It was cool to see that. And I think with the Pirates, it's been more, at least on the offensive side, more about not slug per se, but hey, like, Cal, like you're not stealing 50 bags a year, like hit your homers, hit your doubles, and kind of pouring into you that way. And I think development in both spots were great. I think the Pirates did a really, really good job with hitting development too.
Hey man, you had 17 stolen bases as a first baseman. Like that's not nothing.
No, you can thank Rusty for that one. He taught me a couple things. But I think they do a really good job of teaching hitting, and I think now being in pro ball for a year, you kind of figure out, you know, who you are as a hitter. And being able to have those conversations, I think both staffs I've been with have done a really, really good job of doing that. But, you know, me and JJ, our hitting coordinator, we talk since I'm down here on a daily basis kind of about what we want to do going forward. And there's an open dialogue about it. And it's been really cool.
We just had the pleasure of talking to Blake Butler yesterday. The Greensboro staff got the award for the best staff in the Pirates organization. And your name came up. Obviously, they wanted to talk about the guys that came over towards the end of the year. And I mean, he was raving one about your New York energy, he called it, which just being around Josh Palacios, if it's anything like that, man, it's infectious. But more importantly, the advanced approach that you have at the plate, making the proper swing decisions, being able to drive the ball to all parts of the field. And I mean, just from like what I've watched, it's like controlled violence. Like your hands are so fast, but you're able to keep the hands inside and, you know, react middle in. What is that like for you on a day-to-day basis? Is it based more so on what you're facing or what you're working on? Does that approach alter, or is it kind of like a one set mindset? I'm keeping my hands middle in, reacting. Like, walk me through your hitting process.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's based on the arm. So one of the things I think I had to do once I got into pro ball, I'll thank my hitting coach in low A for that, Ari Adut. We kind of taught me how to go over a scouting report and build an approach. And for me, it's everything I do is based off the arm. So if I'm seeing a sinker slider guy, it's different than, you know, a ride guy with a big breaker or a ride guy with the hard gyro slider, or maybe a lefty who likes to spam changeups. Or I still haven't figured out how to hit the splitter yet. I think that'll come with time.
A lot of people have.
I haven't either, Callan. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't think most guys have, but one day I'll get there, and then that'll be a different conversation. But I think, you know, figuring out how guys want to get you out, where they make their mistakes, and guys are so good now. They throw so hard. Off speeds are so hard. It's like, what can I do? Where can I look to give myself the best chance of success on every
Yeah. So are you looking, so like based on the scouting report, like guy throws like heater up and in, like, are we separating it into different quadrants and looking for that?
Oh, yeah. Either I split the plate in half east to west or up and down most of the time. So if I'm getting a sinker slider guy, it's like, all right, if I see it up, I'm probably going. And for me, my goal is either I'm hitting it over the batter's eye or through the batter's eye, depending on the type of fastball he has. But I like to say through the middle. I know a lot of guys in baseball now teach the whole just pull everything over the fence as much as you can, but I always want to be a hitter first kind of thing. So through the middle, either looking up or super rad guy, I'm looking, you know, bottom of the zone. If I chase down, I chase down. You beat me there, but if you throw me that heater down, you lose kind of thing.
Love that. Love that. Before I get into a serious baseball related question, I got to ask, you're a New York guy. Are you a Knicks fan?
So I grew up a Knicks fan. So I grew up a Knicks
fan. I like this hesitation, man.
I'll break it down for you. I grew up a Knicks fan, but then I lived across the street from Barclays.
Okay.
I saw Barclays being built. I was in fourth grade when it was built. Fifth grade was the first game. I said, you know what? I got to root for my city, right? I'm from Brooklyn. It's my borough. It's right across the street. We got Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce. Had a lot of bad seasons. A lot of bad seasons. I saw KD come and go. I saw Kyrie come and go. I think I'm a Knicks fan at heart. I want Brooklyn to be good because that's me. But sure. When all said and done, it's a Knicks city. It's a Knicks town. Be a Knicks guy.
That's all I need to hear. We'll clip that part. All right. I'm a big Knicks guy. But into baseball questions, I like to talk about the mental side of the game. When you go through a rough stretch at the plate, man, what is something that you do to get through that situation? Is there like a meditation, or is there something that you tell yourself, or is there a mindset that you adopt that helps you get through the mental inevitable situations throughout a long season of baseball?
Yeah, I think for starters, that started a lot this year because, you know, pro ball, you get 500 plus at bats and you're playing 100 some odd games. It's, you got to learn to reset. I think it's something I struggle with early on. Not so much a head case, but I really get down on myself and I'd spiral a lot. So I think one, learning to give yourself grace. Like, you can go 1-for-21 in a week and still win player of the month. You know what I'm saying? And put things in perspective. But like, you can have a really bad month, have a really good month, and boom, you're having a good year. You know what I mean? So I think I spent a lot of time with our mental performance team when I was with Kansas City, just kind of learning skills, mindfulness, how to get through things. And I anticipate doing the same thing here with Pittsburgh. I've already met some of our guys, Mike Gonzalez, RJ Hector. It's a really good team over here. But learning kind of how to pull yourself out of the moment, right? The same way you learn to lock in when, you know, there's 10,000 fans in the stands and the game's on the line. It's kind of the same way you got to, you know, pull back from the moment when, you know, you're 0 for your last 15 and you struck out 10 times and you're in a really bad spot. But you kind of learn to, like, all right, pull back, be in the moment, and everything's a choice, right? I can explode, throw my bat, throw my helmet, break something right now, or I can go out there, make a diving play on defense, and then I get my fifth at bat in the ninth, and it's game over.
Love that, man. That's awesome stuff. What does the offseason look like for you right now? Before we started recording, you mentioned you're down in Pirate City. What's the plan to get better this offseason? Is there something specific that you're working on heading into spring training?
Yeah, no, a bunch of things. I think for one, getting kind of stronger, faster, moving better. That's always the goal. Getting in the best shape I can possibly be in. I think the Pirates have a really good strength and conditioning staff, and we've had some conversations on that and the nutrition side and making sure I'm in the best possible shape I can be for the season next year. On the hitting side, just continue to make the adjustments I wanted to make, you know, continue to hit the ball in the air hard, work on some of the holes I might have had in the past. I spend my all season down in Tampa, actually. I train at this place, Nicole Gabriel Training. Bunch of big league guys there. I train with Vladdy a lot. Teoscar Hernandez, being around those guys, it's a really good group, but it's too cold in New York. So
I don't blame you, man.
I don't blame you, man. My last question for you, Cal, before we let you go here. For Pirates fans that might not know you very well, because you were just acquired end of July here. What kind of player are they getting in Callan Moss?
I think they're going to get a guy who, on the offensive side, he's going to hit. I think that's my thing. Everywhere I go, I'm going to want to hit. I'm going to hit. I'm going to drive in runs. I think I'm going to slug a little bit. Defensively, I'm going to play good first base, be a smart base runner, and be the best teammate I can be. I think that goes a lot further than everything else. Maybe the guy brings the juice to the ballpark every day. Whether we're on a 10-game skid or we're 10-0, we're gonna win ball games, and hopefully bring a chip back to Pittsburgh.
Hell yeah, man! What's the walkout song? What was it this year?
LF Systems, Little House music gets you going.
Okay, is that your go-to pregame? Like, what's the mix looking like?
It depends what mind state we're in that day, but a lot of decent amount of rap, a little bit of house, get the body moving a little bit, get fired up, but not too much. That nice mellow state.
Yeah, but, controlled.
Controlled.
Okay. You got a favorite New York hip hop or rapper?
Jay-Z and Big.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Biggie. Yeah. Yes. Love that. Yeah. Love that. Good answer. All right, Callan. Hey, it was a pleasure having you on, man. I feel like we could talk for hours. This is a very enjoyable conversation. Best of luck to you this off season, and we'll definitely see you down in Bradenton for spring training.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Callan.
Rockin' 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates.
The holidays are here, and Kirkland's Home has everything you need to make this season shine. From beautiful tree decor and ornaments to cozy throws, candles, and festive accents, you'll find inspiring ways to deck every hall. Explore thoughtful holiday gifts for everyone on your list at prices that make celebrating even brighter. Come visit Kirkland's Home and discover great deals across the store as you decorate, gift, and gather. Kirkland's Home, your destination for a beautifully decorated holiday season. Come see us today.